From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life for the Archdiocese of Mobile.
And I'm Ellen Taylor, Executive Director of Archangel Radio. Good to be here with you, Pat.
Ellen, thanks for trekking across the bay to be with us. Mm. Hello, Archbishop.
Well, Pat, hello. Mm. Ellen, hello. Matt. Good to be with you all and all who are joining us in the broadcast. And Pat, what's our topic today?
So we're going to continue what we started. You know, last week we started looking at the question of, or try to kind of unpack what happens at Mass and understand the Mass better, since we're in the midst of the year of the Eucharist in the parish. And so last week we handled the question, why do we have to worship at all? And today we're going to look at kind of why do we worship this way? As we get ready to start, would you lead us in prayer, Archbishop?
In him, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, thank you for the gift of the Eucharist that you call your family to celebrate and share. You come to us, your real presence of body and blood, so that we know that you are with us in all things and that you strengthen us. Help us always to grow in a faith and an appreciation of the Eucharist as we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So Archbishop, you know, I go into St. Ignatius on a Sunday or St. Mary, and I don't know, where did that come from? Why are we doing it like this? It's a meal,
We talked last time about why do we come together and worship God. And this time, let's talk about, all right, well, why do we have a meal when we come together? Why do we take bread and wine as well as the Word of God? There are two parts of the Mass that we share the Word of God and we share Jesus' body and blood. But why a meal? Because this is what Jesus taught us to do. Scripture records that at the Last Supper, when Jesus gathered with his apostles, and they sang songs, they read from Scripture, and then Jesus said, now, this is the way God wishes to be worshiped. And of all the things God could have said at that moment, you know, think of the ways that some of the great religions of the world worship. That, you know, God could have said, well, build beautiful buildings and sacrifice animals within those buildings, or go up on high places and build altars and burn certain things on the altars, or build beautiful temples and burn incense there, or turn certain times during the day in a certain direction, say certain prayers, etc. And those are some of the ways in which the great faiths of the world worship. No, Jesus said, this is the way God wishes to be worshiped. Have a meal. And he took the bread and he said, this is my body. He took the wine and said, this is my blood. Now do this. Do this in memory of me. This is how you are to worship. So to share the Word of God and to share the Eucharist. So the best answer I can give, the simplest answer, is why do we worship with the meal? Because Jesus told us to do that. But I think among many reasons that the wisdom and love of God would have said that to us, let me just suggest two that we can talk about here. And one is because a meal makes it very clear God is with us. And the other is a meal makes it very clear that God wants us to come together and worship him. So that's a lot, those two things. So let's not dawdle here. Let's get into these. Which one you want to take on first?
Well, I kind of like to just focus on one little phrase that you quoted from Jesus. And that's, you know, Jesus at the Last Supper says, do this in memory of me. And I guess as a dad, I picture myself going off and telling, you know, let's take my oldest son. All right, son, while I'm gone, I want you to mow the yard. Okay, you will mow the yard. When I come home, He might have done other things. He might have cleaned his room. He might have cleaned the bathroom. He might have started supper. A lot of things are good, but he should have mowed because that's what I told him to do. And so there are a lot of things that Christians do that are very good. But Jesus said, do this in memory of me. And so I would be very reticent as a Bible Christian, which I consider myself to be, if I didn't do what Jesus said, which was to do this meal, this thing in memory of me.
And why would Jesus say that?
And that's the question. So why is he commanding this?
The first thing, because food brings us together. Let's go with that one first.
Okay.
Food brings, among the many that we could, let's just limit ourselves to two. The first is food brings us together. It doesn't matter how many times we drive up by ourselves to the drive-up window of a fast food restaurant and get a meal. That is not really how we like to eat. When we eat, we like other people to be with us. You go into a school cafeteria. Kids do not want to eat lunch by themselves. They want their friends sitting at the table with them. One of the hardest things during the pandemic was at school where kids couldn't sit with their friends. We had to keep social distancing. How difficult that was for them. They didn't enjoy lunch like they used to, just to eat their lunch by themselves, socially distanced. Food brings us together. I remember speaking with a man, he does a lot of traveling because of his business, and I asked him one time, what's the thing that you dislike the most about all the traveling you do? And I thought he was going to say, I don't like airports, or, oh, I hate missing a plane, or whatever. No, the first thing he said that it was the thing he disliked the most about all the traveling he did was, he said, I don't like eating in a restaurant in the evening by myself. Mm-hmm. I miss my wife and I miss my kids. You know, when we go to a restaurant, we prefer to have people with us. You know, that's how restaurants work. You know, it's just not the same when we eat by ourselves. Food brings us together. And by God telling us, you are to worship me by having a meal, he's saying, I want you to worship me along with my sons and daughters. And therefore, you will remember that they are not just my sons and daughters, they are therefore your brothers and sisters. And how you treat them is how you're treating me.
I don't know where I'm going with this. So buckle up.
There we go.
But that can be fun. Let's see.
It's bad enough eating alone, but it's worse eating alone in a room full of other people. I mean, so, you know, if I'm in Montgomery and I couldn't arrange to have supper with anybody, I will pick something up and take it back to my room before I go sit in the restaurant. It's just maybe because it's sort of in your face that you're alone. All these people, but I'm sitting here alone. It's really unpleasant.
Well, this whole thing too, Archbishop, of coming together, Pat, we kind of stopped what we were doing, whatever the busyness was, to come together, to share a meal, to share fellowship, get updates, information, all of those elements of what coming together is. And so that's probably what we miss too when we are eating by ourselves, is that connectivity with others, our family, our brothers and sisters, and taking a moment to rest from maybe what work we were doing to come together and share.
And God bringing us together is explaining to us, teaching us how important it is that we care about others. Now, we call the church the family of God. God is our Father. We are all his sons and daughters. Therefore, we are brothers and sisters to each other. And the way that love works is that love wants to be shared. And God is saying, I have created you in love, each one of you. And it pains me if you do not care about each other. I'm telling you, come together and worship me together by gathering at my table and having this sacred meal my real presence of body and blood, so that you will remember I'm calling you to share my love with each other. I remember years ago, true story, a lady in a parish where I was a young priest, a lovely lady, and she had a number of adult children. Sadly, her sons and daughters did not get along with each other. It happens sometimes, and it saddened the mother. It was a pain to her in her heart that her sons and daughters didn't get along with each other. Anyhow, it was getting close to Christmas, and one of her sons asked her, "Mom, what would you like for Christmas?" And she said, "Nothing. I have everything I want." She said to him, "If you really want to give me a Christmas present, this is the present I want. I want you and your brothers and sisters to be reconciled with each other and to be seated around my table on Christmas for Christmas dinner. That's the present I want." And if we can understand her longing for that, for her sons and daughters who didn't love each other, to reconcile, to forgive each other, to care about each other and come together with her at the table, we have a glimpse into the heart of God, who says, "It pains me when you, my sons and daughters, don't get along with each other. What I want you all to do is care about each other and come sit reconciled with each other around my table. Therefore, I want you to worship me in a meal so that you remember how much I long for you all to be united truly as my family."
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensberg here with Ellen Taylor and Archbishop Rohde, talking about why we worship in a meal. And, you know, it seems to me that, you know, we understand the Eucharist is, it looks, smells, and tastes like bread and wine. So it has some physical realities. And that it is, in fact, Jesus. So it seems to me that two different fires should get lit in us when we go and celebrate the Eucharist, specifically at Mass. One is, if I had a brother who wasn't coming to the table, I would feel compelled, because he was not reconciled, I should be compelled to go out and reconcile with that person. I should be compelled to go out and invite that person back in. I think it going to Mass and receiving Christ in the Eucharist should light an evangelical fire under us. We can't approach that meal while our brothers and sisters aren't coming to it and aren't aware that they should be coming to it. The second fire, it seems, it lights to me is the physical hunger, that there are people out there who are literally starving. It should light the fire in us to be compelled to go out and see Christ in them and feed them. I think both of those fires get lit because precisely it's we're worshiping in the context of a meal.
What does Jesus say repeatedly in Scripture? The way we treat one another is the way we are treating Jesus. You know, he says that, whatever you do to the least of your brethren, that's what you do to me. It teaches us the Our Father, which, by the way, is totally written in the plural. You know, he wants us to pray together. You know, he says, it's not the My Father prayer, it's the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, etc. It's all written plural. But in the Our Father, what do we say? We say to God, please forgive me in exactly the way I forgive others. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He's telling us whatever we do to others, that's what we do to God. Jesus says the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. He says, judge not one another so that you will not be judged. He says, if you have a grievance against your neighbor, settle on the way to court. Don't appear before the judge still being angry with each other, or he will not go well with you. And telling us, before we appear before God, we need to be reconciled with each other. So many places, and we could go on, so many places in the Gospels, Jesus is telling us how we treat each other is how God is treated, how we're treated God. And so the idea of I want to be worshiped at a meal makes sense that this is what God says to us. telling us over and over again that what you do to each other is what you're doing to me. Come together and be reconciled.
Yeah, for many of us, Ellen, that's a very sobering realization. That
well, Archbishop's point is really good, is that all of those things where you come together as a meal are, they would enhance anything that you, so you settled your problem with your brother on the way to the meal. You can't partake fully of the meal if you're not talking to the person across the table from you, or you're holding the grudge to the person down at the other end. So all of those elements in our humanity of how we come forward and present ourselves at the table are all things that when we get there, now we can fully partake in the meal. And the same could be said as the story you shared with the woman's adult children that didn't get along. Go reconcile, come together and share together in the meal. And that really paints the picture of why we've entered into the Mass, or why we worship at the Mass in the form of a meal.
So, you know, Archbishop, a lot of us have little grievances with other people. So, I mean, I shouldn't be going to Mass, I shouldn't be going to communion because so-and-so and I kind of had a little bit of a tiff, or what, like, where do we draw the line? It's an unfair question, I'm sorry.
It's an unfair question, but, you know, first of all, it is not that we shouldn't be going to Mass. Oh, we should continue to go to Mass. But we should do everything that we have in our power to be reconciled. Remember, Jesus did say, if you bring your offering to the temple and there realize that your brother has something against you, go first and be reconciled and then come back to the temple. He doesn't say if you have something against your neighbor. You know, he says, no, your neighbor has something against you. So it is not just that we are to forgive, but as much as possible to reach out to those who have something against us, which may or may not be possible. That we have to forgive is a given. We have to forgive, whether or not we feel the other person deserves it. We have to forgive. But as much as possible, if our offering at the temple is to be worthy, or our worship of God is to be worthy, we must do our best to reach out to those who have a grievance against us, which may or may not be possible. I have to admit that. But we're called to be reconciled to the best of our ability.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. We're talking about Jesus commanding us to worship in the form of a meal. And I think we probably need to move on to the second point of that.
Yeah, and the second point is that having a meal, receiving Jesus' own body and blood in the Eucharist, reminds us that God is with us in everything. Gentle listeners, I wish you could be looking at these faces. I mean, they really are deep in thought. But I mean, come on. I mean, what more could Jesus have done to tell us, I am with you, I'm journeying with you, walking with you in life, I'm strengthening you, nourishing you, feeding you, than to allow us, his mere creatures, to actually receive his body and blood into our very bodies?
That is a pretty powerful statement, and probably one maybe down the road we'll unpack in one of these episodes where we talk specifically about the Mass. But this understanding of the Catholic form of worship in the Mass and receiving the body and blood of Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity, that is a hard understanding for not only other Christians, a lot of the Catholics in the pews. Archbishop, we've talked about this in the past, that that a lot of Catholics who come to Mass every week do not really understand the essence of the Eucharist and that what we are receiving when we go to Mass. And I feel like in our short little episode today, we're not even going to be able to explain, because there's a lot of people that just haven't made that connection yet of what it is to receive the Eucharist at Mass.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, that's kind of the reason that we eat and drink. I think Jesus is trying to simplify it for us, that you know, I experience the food. I know what it feels like to eat. I know what nourishment feels like. St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, talks about it in the prayer after communion about blood of Christ inebriate me, that we experience these things on a physical plane because we can't feel them or experience them necessarily. Our souls don't have nerve endings. Mm-hmm. You know, so we don't feel it exactly the same way in our soul, but our bodies, and that's the reason I think Christ gave us all of the sacraments, so that we can see, hear, smell, taste the signs of the sacrament that point to what's happening in our souls. Because mm-hmm. I think sometimes, and you know, I have a master's in theology, and I think sometimes we overthink things. It doesn't have to be rocket science. It's I'm feeding you my very self.
Well, Archbishop, and is perhaps why, as Pat, as you zero down on that, the simplest way for us to understand, you know, we're creatures that want to go off thinking our own thing. But if you break it down like Pat did, it's kind of this simple understanding of here is how I'm going to nourish you in the temporal world here, but with an essence that you can't even begin to comprehend, maybe.
You know, in Scripture, the message of God, it's written that, don't say, who will go across the sea to bring us an understanding of this, or who will go up to the high mountains? It is in your heart already mm-hmm. that God wishes to be with us. And God, it's so simple. It's not something that is a long trek across an ocean or a mountain to get. It is so simple. Jesus says, I am with you. This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink. I am with you in everything. It is a difficult belief to believe that this bread and wine, which looks so simple, is the real presence of Jesus Christ. Most people on the earth today do not believe that. At the same time, the Bible is truly the word of God, God speaking to us. Most people on the face of the earth today do not believe that. The Bible looks like any other book, all right? And the bread and wine also looks so ordinary. The wine, it's like any other wine. But to the eyes of faith, the Bible is God speaking to us. The Eucharist is the real presence of Jesus Christ coming to us. And it's for us to pray for that faith, to believe in Scripture and to believe in the Eucharist, and to believe when Jesus said, this is my body, and he said, this is my blood, that he had the power to do this. If people say, no, God can't do that, well, I feel very sorry for them, but their God can't do that. But I know, as the angel Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. And if God decides this bread and this wine is truly my body, my blood, I believe it.
You know, and I was just thinking, Archbishop, as you were talking, that it's not a new concept, this notion of God journeying with his people. I mean, at the Exodus, the column of fire led the Israelites. He was with them. And then it went to the rear to protect them overnight from the Egyptian. It was always from the Egyptians. It was always there. The prophets, they spoke. They were God's presence among the people. They spoke for God because he didn't want to leave them alone. He was journeying with them, and the prophets and the kings and the judges. He always was with his people, but that radically changed at the incarnation because now God has a body. Now God has a physical body like we do. And so the ways he comes to be with us are more literally, more tangible.
Do you think, too, that the mysteries of faith, the Egyptians were right there with Moses and the Israelites, and they could see the same miracles performed by God for his people. But they did not choose, at least history doesn't tell us that, to say, oh, their God is the God, and we're going to go forth and follow them. That there seems to be this step of faith that we as humans have to accept in understanding all the ways that God lives, moves, and has his being here on earth.
Ellen, of course, because, Ellen, when Jesus works, God works in our lives in ways that are very simple and ordinary. Why? So that we can deal with it. If God spoke to us in lightning and thunder from the clouds, which God is quite capable of doing, we would be so scared, it'd be difficult for us to deal with that. So he speaks to us in a book that looks just like any other book, the Bible. If God appeared to us, we couldn't handle that. So he comes to us under the form of bread and wine, his real body, his real blood. We can deal with that, but it requires faith. As much as it did when Jesus walked the face of the earth, some people looked at Jesus and said, "There is the Son of God. There is the promised one. My Lord and my God," as Thomas said. Other people said, "How can this be God? We've seen him grow up. He looks like anyone else. We know his family. We used to hire him as our carpenter. He can't be God. He looks too ordinary." That has always been the challenge of faith. God comes to us in ways that seem ordinary. Do we accept God is coming to us? Even when Jesus walked the face of the earth, people, some believed this is actually Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And others said, nope, it's too ordinary. That happens today with the bread and wine. This is truly Jesus Christ. And others will say, nope, looks too ordinary. It's always faith, God's gift that we have to accept.
For those who believe, no amount of explanation is necessary. For those who don't believe, no amount of
explanation is possible.
Is possible.
At St. Thomas, I believe.
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Well, we've come to an end of our program.
Archbishop, would you give us a blessing as we close?
A privilege to. And may the blessing of God be upon you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.